This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton.
Brian Cushing, what kind of a player could he be without steroids?
Jeff Lagerman.
It's a lot better to be picked last and finish higher.
And Vic Ketchman.
Negative all the time, Vic.
You know, okay, Bill, please, you're going to make me cry here. All your right. Positivity is just negative.
Now 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
I'm not sure it gets any better than that. And in terms of theater, I mean, if you notice, if you go back and listen to that, what was that caller's name?
Bill.
Bill. Loggy and I both step out and give you wide latitude. Right. Because it's you and Bill.
Yep.
And I've had so many people comment to me on it this week. And somebody said, why didn't you jump in there? I went, why? It was a train wreck
right.
waiting to happen. That's what makes it fun.
It's what happens when you're poop negative.
Oh.
You are kind of negative.
I am not.
Yeah, you're a glass half empty guy.
Oh, I resemble that remark.
And I know you'd be the first one to admit it.
Absolutely.
That's how they raise them in Pittsburgh.
Next subject.
All right, so you're smiling big today, though.
Yeah.
What went right today?
Not much. I'm trying to think.
I heard you were in a bad mood today.
I was not in a bad
mood. That's what I've been
told.
There's
no OTA practice, so I was in a delightful mood. I sat back in there and never spoke to a soul all day. I just, you know, I watched, let's see what I watched. Watched CNBC. I watched the, you know, my investments plummet. And I watched some, watched the oil flow into the loop. And then I think I caught a nap.
Like I said, you're in a bad mood today.
Doesn't seem it.
No.
Folks, I think it's safe to call. I think you could call this evening.
Oh, absolutely.
And have a realistic
Except Bill.
Shot. Yeah, Bill.
I don't want him back.
We don't want to ban you, Bill. But
just kiss it.
You'd help it if you didn't call again.
Get it, buddy.
Yeah. I bet he's listening. Mm-hmm.
You don't think I'm going to be watching for those preseason prediction magazines, do you?
Well, they'll be out next month. They always come out in June. All right, so our phone number this evening, as it has been for 15 years, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. If you're outside the calling area listening on the Internet, 800-355-NFL-1, and the call is free to you. The Jaguars 30-30 plan, folks, is still available, but only until May 31st. Lock in 2010 prices for 3 years and pay for 30 games over 30 months. 633-2000 or 904-633-2000 for more details. So, what sits on the top of your head after a couple of OTA practices?
I was at the first one. I didn't go to the one yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had an important date with a fish. But I was very impressed with the first practice that they had. Mm-hmm. It was very crisp from an offensive standpoint. I understand that yesterday was not as crisp from an offensive standpoint, but that's okay.
Jeff, he threw three interceptions. It was,
who?
David.
Yesterday.
It's tragic. It's tragic. Three interceptions in a practice.
Oh, man. Get rid of
them. should we just lay out your disdain for these OTAs? You don't need to be there. It's not something that you always wanted to do. It was created by a sports writer, so it's not like you can go too far to blame
these him. Used to be closed, which I appreciated very much. Tom Coughlin closed OTAs to the media, and I said thank you every day that I saw him in the spring. And then
your buddy messed it up.
Then old Vito Stellino wandered into town and threw a hissy fit about them being closed. And he got them opened, and he'll be going on vacation soon and won't cover any of them.
So any of them.
Right. Well, no, he's here for the first couple, and then he'll go away. And he'll leave us to stand in the blazing sun and get these dark marks on our face.
That shouldn't be allowed. You can't want them opened up and then not be there for them.
Well, anyhow, I'm sitting there yesterday. I wrote a column about this today, so if you've read it, I apologize for the repetition. But I'm standing out there yesterday, and every time David Garrard is intercepted, which totaled three, there's major guffaws among the media. Ooh, you know, and they go to the notebook, and we're writing, and I find myself writing this crap down.
But that's...
And finally, you know, I started to think, did I ever write, did I ever report that Terry Bradshaw threw an interception or a touchdown pass in a practice? No. And I can say without reservation, never. I started going through all the quarterbacks I covered. Terry Hanratty, Joe Gillum, no. Bobby Brister, Neil O'Donnell, no. Mark Brunell, I don't think so. I think it started with Byron Leftwich. I don't know why. It just became a thing. And I blame it on OTAs. They're just, you know, what are you gonna report in an OTA?
Yeah, it's,
you know, someone knocks somebody on their butt? No. You know.
The new media world.
It was caught.
It
was
OTAs,
not caught.
Where you've got to fill space.
I mean, so do baseball writers cover batting practice? Do golf writers report on what Tiger Woods did on the range? Does a hockey writer report about the morning skate?
Sometimes.
Or a shoot? No, they don't.
Sometimes
no,
they do.
They don't tell you how a guy looked in there.
Well, from an injury standpoint.
I mean, we're reporting on Cecil Newton, for God's sakes, in OTAs.
How did he look?
How did Cecil Newton look? I don't know, with his eyes. What do you say about this? It's OTAs. So let's go. I started to go back through the MVPs of the Underwear League of recent years. Chad Owens.
Charles Sheeran.
Last year, the linebackers were co-MVPs.
And Nate Hughes had a really strong OTA last year.
Nate, yeah. And then, of course, for the opening home opener, Klang went the trolley.
He rebounded well against Buffalo.
I haven't given up on him yet.
No. And by really the way, he's had two great OTA practices along with Jarrett Dillard, for whatever that's worth. But, I mean, you know, so I called some reporters I know, started asking them, do you guys do this? Do you report about touchdown passes and interceptions? No. Do you do that down there? Yeah, we do that down here. And it's nuts. And you know what? If I was David Garrard, I'd resent it. It's practice. I mean, you've got free play action fakes aren't going to freeze anyone. And
not in a passing drill, certainly not.
No, and you can say that there's no pass rush, but you can also say these guys aren't aggressively pass blocking anyone to the ground. So the quarterback ends the play ends with a quarterback throwing with four guys standing, you know, right in his face with their arms in the air. He can barely throw the ball over their hands. There's no Chuck rule violations. There's no pass interference. You know, I don't know why we do this, but I ain't doing it no more.
Well, because they opened OTAs.
Yeah, we should close them.
Tell you what, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll deal with the only real story of OTAs, and that is Rasheen Mathis' absence. When we return to more Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by the Best Buy stores in our area, including the new one over in the St. John's Town Center. Sexton, Loggeman, Ketchman, Fortunato, and Trevor in Montreal to start this segment. Welcome to the show, Trevor.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Vic, you been watching any NHL hockey?
Yeah. Yeah, the goalie finally woke up. They're done.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, sorry, I just wanted to ask about...
you wish you hadn't asked, right?
Trevor, he was sitting there game-planning in the commercial break about how he was going to hammer you about the Canadians.
No, I was.
He was, too.
No, but I got to tell you guys, in Game 7, when they played in the last round, the Bell Center in Montreal sold out, and they weren't even playing.
Yeah. I mean, Montreal has been forever, in my lifetime anyhow, you know, the capital of hockey. It has. I mean, it's not only a place where everybody loves hockey and a place that has given, you know, the NFL or the NHL its most dominant, its dynasties, its best, greatest dynasties. But, you know,
those in Detroit are going, what are you talking about?
No. Detroit's a Johnny-come-lately. Between Gordie Howe.
No, I know. You're talking about ancient history.
Yeah, between Gordie Howe and
but Detroit's hockey town.
Oh, it's a fabulous hockey town. It's the capital of American hockey. You know, that in Boston.
I want to leave them out. But Montreal is the epicenter of the game, because not only has it given the NHL dynasties and great fans, it's given the NHL great players. Mario Lemieux is from, you know,
yeah,
from Quebec, right? That's the province, right?
Yeah.
It's given the game great, great players from the upper reaches of the Quebec province.
Yeah, 24 Stanley Cups.
True French Canadians. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the identity of the game. True French Canadians.
Yeah, it's true. What I wanted to ask Vic or for guys was Rasheen Matthews. Given the team's new identity and you're either in or you're out, and all these disciplinary actions, like, is him not being there any sort of a big deal, or because it's voluntary, it's not an issue?
Well, it can't be a big deal because it is voluntary.
Okay.
And Jack Del Rio knows that. Mm-hmm. He was a vice president of the union back in his playing day, so he is very aware.
Staunch union guy.
Of all of those, and he has been a staunch union guy, ran for the president's seat against Trace Armstrong when I was on the executive committee. So he knows. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's trying to build a football team. So I understand that, you know, he would like to have Rasheen, but with the rules, they can't do anything about it. You know, and that's Rasheen's right to exercise if he so chooses to do. Now, what I don't like is that if you're in town, I think you ought to be there. If you live on the far coast, then I understand that maybe you can't be there all the time. You got family or whatever, like Tom Brady. You know, he's got kids out in the West Coast.
Right.
But Rasheen is not – he's choosing not to because, from what we understand, he wants a new contract. And I think if that's the case, I don't think it's going to work for him.
No, he's not going to get a new contract. I think his agent better have something else in mind. Gene Smith has proven to us that he is a very bold general manager. And if it so happens that a Don Carey jumps out of the woodwork, and who's this kid, Gordy? They got a kid from where's the roster?
Not
doggone
good.
It.
Up.
I think his number is 38 or 39.
38.
His name is Gordy, small school kid or a...
Yeah, but remember, Vic, we're in the underwear league now.
I know that. But I'm saying if young guys were to jump up, don't put anything past GM Gene. I mean, if he can swing a trade and get value, he will do it. I'm sorry, I forgot the name.
Josh Gordy. Yeah, from Central Michigan.
There you go.
Here's my question. Just, and I don't mean disrespect towards Rasheen, but how good is he? What's he worth? Is he worth a new contract?
Well, I mean, if you look at the numbers, I mean, and you compare the guys that are in the same ballpark as his numbers,
not the numbers, though. You watch the tape.
Right? He's made some of the biggest plays in Jaguars history. let's not forget the interception in the playoff win in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago. Let's not forget the interception in New York in overtime. That
set up the game-winning touchdown to Jimmy Smith. I'm not forgetting any of that. I'm just and that's no, then.
But
I'm
the flip side of that is that, you know, he makes phenomenal plays.
Right.
Sometimes he doesn't play the defense, and I think when he has faced veteran quarterbacks, you kind of know that. You know, they can expose them.
Right.
The game that sticks out in my mind last year, Seattle.
True.
Boy.
That, yeah.
The game in Cincinnati a couple years ago.
Well, the one that sticks out in my mind.
Yeah, well, how about the game in Houston last year when he completely shut down Andre Johnson? I mean, he had a game of games. So, I mean, there's your example. He's coming off the game of games in Houston, and then he has the stinker of stinkers against Seattle. It's boom or bust. It's feast or famine with Rasheen, and he's got to get rid of the famine and get
and
something between
stay
feast
consistent.
And famine.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to establish a value line. You know, where does he fit? What is he worth?
He's pretty damn good.
Okay.
No question. He's a great player. But because of those famine moments, you know, where it's up and down and up and down,
right.
And it's not up, level, sometimes that scares somebody from paying somebody big
money. Here's
the
classic example. He gets the interception in the first half in Pittsburgh in the playoff game, returns it 63 yards for a touchdown.
No, not for
touchdown. To the inch line then. Right. It results in a touchdown. Fabulous interception. Fabulous return. Don't forget the one in 2005 against Tommy Maddox that won the game. But then in the second half, Santonio Holmes catches the pass on the smoke route, and Rasheen whiffs on the tackle, touchdown, and they're back in the game. So, you know, I mean, so you got in one game, in two halves, you've got the exact example of what is best and worst, and he's got to get rid of the worst.
Vic's right on the money. You know, but the numbers don't lie. The performances don't lie in that he is a game-changing player.
You betcha.
For a guy going into his eighth season, he's still in his prime.
This team needs him. If they really have a goal to make the playoffs, to win the division even.
Yeah, for a team that didn't rush the passer.
You're not doing that without Rasheen
right.
Mathis.
For a team
that, simple.
That didn't rush the passer last year, you don't want to take away right. one of the guys who covers.
Well, and then the other thing is how many games has he missed the last couple of years? I mean, you know, we're looking
at the end of the
eighth. You can look
season.
At both sides of the fence here. You know, and when you look at both sides of the fence, you know, you probably got, you know, I don't want to say you got more on one side or more on the other. I mean, he's been a proven player for a long time.
I think
he
comes in next week.
So it seems like the deal for what the Jaguars are getting and what they're paying, the deal is fair. No side has leverage over the other at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's
here's the problem.
It's not terrible.
Here's the problem. Brian Williams and Drayton Florence each made more money than he did.
If I'm him, I'd be upset about that, too.
Last year?
I can just tell you that Brian Williams and Drayton Florence.
When they were here.
Yes, pocketed more money. I think even than his current arrangement. I could be wrong on that, but I think there's some resentment there that he was a homegrown guy and they paid more for guys they brought in free agency. Although he's the one who jumped the gun on the deal. That's
Scottie Pippen, yep.
Yes, sir. I mean, he and who else? There was someone else at that time. They did Mo Williams at that time. They did Brad Meester at that time. They were going early with guys to get a bargain.
Well, Darryl Smith did one at that time, too.
Okay, you get your money up front, which feels good, and the team gets a deal. And then all of a sudden later on, you know, you want it both ways. You want my money up front and you want, you know, a better deal. It doesn't work that way. He's got to bear some culpability for having, you know, jumped the gun on his deal.
And then you could take the player side of that argument as, hey, look, if I'm not performing up to the level of a contract, hey, look, I get asked to take a pay cut or I get cut. You know, I mean,
he should get in here next week. He should do what Paul Spicer did. He's made his statement. He's you know, affected his protest. Okay, now that you've done, you know, you've beat your chest, get in here next week and get back to the business of playing football and being a team leader.
You mentioned Don Carey. You did it in a column and you've done it here. What have you seen from him that makes you think that he's a guy that could contribute?
Nobody on Monday. Nobody was good. I mean, the defense was just, it was horrible.
Right.
Yesterday they carried the day, and Carey was good. He wasn't as good as Scott Starks and Derek Cox. And by the way, Derek Cox has the look of a blue chip premier guy.
Yeah.
You know, Rasheen, if you're listening, and I think you know, he has the ability to be that guy. I mean, Derek Cox could take Rasheen's place as the lead corner on this team. He has that kind of ability. Not to mention the fact that he led the team in interceptions last year. Carey's not at that level. You would much rather have Rasheen Mathis and Derek Cox, two premier guys, at your corners than have a young guy who's trying to establish himself.
But Carey has
some skills in this.
Carey's very fluid.
Yes, and his Gordy
very
kid
fluid.
Is very fluid, too. The kid from Central Michigan is a fluid guy. And Scott Starks looks like he's back.
All right, we need a break for news here
Love
at the bottom
Scott
of the
Starks.
Hour.
Love Scott Starks.
You know, I want to tell you a story about Scott Starks.
Welcome back. News is next.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Rolling right along here towards the top of the hour and the conclusion of this program on News Talk Radio WOKV. Brian Sexton, along with the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman. Jeff Lagerman is here. Joe Fortunato. Join us, 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Did you see this thing about Brandon Marshall today?
I did not.
Turns out that Brandon Marshall has had two hip surgeries. Had another one recently.
Oh, that's nice for the Dolphins. Yeah.
And the Dolphins, apparently.
How much they spent on him?
$47 million.
Bunch.
Yeah, you can never have enough wide receivers.
He is a great player, though. He is a phenomenal player.
$47 million
When he's on his game, name me a better wide receiver in the league.
Well, we saw him 2 years in a row where the Jaguars could do nothing to stop him. The only thing that stopped
him. Is there anybody
better? Yeah, was Jay Cutler.
Yeah, but the problem is he's a pain in the butt. He's not dependable.
He's nuts based on the girlfriend and the car and all that nonsense that was in Denver.
He's a coach killer. You know, you got a lot of money wrapped up in the coach and the coaching staff, and this guy's a coach killer.
And now he's in South Beach. That ain't gonna make.
Yeah, that'll
make
him a better player.
Yeah, that ain't gonna make him any better. Not at all. But it's evidently a surprising outcome for the folks down in Miami. They weren't quite clear on it all.
You know, I had a guy ask me and ask Vic today. You know, can you win a championship without a great wide receiver?
Sure.
I thought about it. New Orleans' leading receiver last year was Marcus Colston, seventh-round pick. He's a great receiver. The year before, Santonio Holmes makes that catch. Anyone ever call Santonio Holmes a great receiver?
No. Good receiver.
Yeah, Tom Brady won 3 Super Bowls with
who?
Scrap.
With who?
Finally got receivers, and he can't win with them.
It's all, hey, the one thing is for certain.
Quarterback.
It is very difficult to win without a great quarterback. It's possible.
The Bucs did it. And the Ravens did it with Dilfer and Brad Johnson. But that was a different. That was before the Chuck Rule revisitation. Ever since they revisited that major point of emphasis on the Chuck Rule, you got to have the man. You've got to have a quarterback who has an elite level year.
Well, you said has to have an elite level year.
Yeah.
Not to be an elite quarterback.
An elite level year last year. The year before, Roethlisberger had an elite level year. Before that, Manning.
But these guys, you know, this little group we're talking about, they consistently have elite level years.
Eli Manning had an elite level December and January.
He's not consistently in the elite level.
But he got hot at that time. He was elite at that time. Before that, his brother has been an elite quarterback for a long time, and Brady for 3 years. So, I mean, and then Roethlisberger got another one in there. So, I mean, if you look at the collection of quarterbacks that have won in recent years, 3 Bradys, 2 Roethlisbergers, a Manning, and a Breeze. Well, these guys were all lights out.
Gotta have one.
So, I mean, so it is accurate. For the Jaguars to be a playoff contender, to make the playoffs this year, David Garrard's got to have a 2007 kind of season.
Yes.
And we're not going to be able to know based on what we watch in OTAs.
No. I mean, you know, come on. Here's a perfect example. Yesterday, there was a play where he shoved the ball 2 yards to a running back who shot through a hole in the defensive line for what would have been a touchdown. And the offense, they exploded with their little triumphant cheer. Why? Well, because David beat a blitz.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what OTAs are about. Anybody write it?
It's very difficult kind of evaluate during the underwear league.
Sure it is.
But the one, you know, the positions that you typically can evaluate are the wide receivers, I really think you can.
Without getting whacked, they're throwing the ball over the middle.
No, I think you can to some degree to where you get an idea, but you don't really know.
Of what, though? I mean, what do you look? What do you see when you watch a receiver?
Just the overall, the skill set of players, individually and as a group. And I can tell you that, you know, as fabulous as Monday's practice was for the passing game, the one thing that I walked away from that practice thinking to myself was, how long has it been since I've looked at the wide receiving core and said, they look pretty good?
They do.
You can evaluate in the underwear league.
Jared Dillard has had 2 good days. I mean,
but it's not just him. I mean,
it's
Troy. It's Jarrett. Mike's not practicing again. It's Nate Hughes. Mike Sims Walker looked good. I mean, he didn't practice on Monday, but I mean, you know what he is.
He didn't practice on Tuesday either.
This receiver that they have, and I don't know who he is, white guy, free agent rookie that they got from a small school.
Oh, Rocky Ross from Central Florida.
Hey, that's the Bulls kid. Yeah,
That's he looks cool. good. I mean, you know, not great. I mean, but he was productive. But, I mean, I really walked away from that practice on Monday saying, because it's been a long time, that wide receiver group looks pretty good.
I want to tell you who looks good.
Tyquan Underwood ran by somebody, Brian. I'm talking flat out ran by somebody.
He did. That's not the guy I was going to say. I'm going to get away from the receivers for 1 minute. I'm going to tell you who is a gem, a real gem. Eben Britton. He shoves Derek Harvey around. Like, you're not supposed to shove a $17 million player around. I mean, he just pushes him out of the way. Eben got big. And he's got great feet for a right tackle.
Oh, he's going to be.
I heard that at the Jaguars golf tournament.
Very good player.
His drives were routinely 350 yards.
I don't
yards.
Doubt it. He's athletic. He is a gem of a second round pick.
How about Osgood? See anything from him as a receiver?
He's a special teamer.
Boy, oh, you should all see him on special teams.
Wow.
I mean, when they run down there, I know it's not live, but you see the Pro Bowl in him. He's going to catch a couple balls, but he's not in a league with Dillard and Thomas. Mike Thomas worries me, though, because this muscles pull thing is you know, could be. I mean, I covered a player. A guy named Lewis Lips, who really had a chance to be a great player.
Yeah, nagging hamstring.
Constant groin hamstring, too thick. And I'm worried about Mike Thomas, that he might be in that same vein.
You know that did you wrote the article about Kasim Osgood, and you know he was saying how he, you know, 8 years or whatever it was that he had San Diego, eight.
Probably Ryan wrote it in a notebook.
Okay. Then that's what it was, and he talked about how, you know, wasn't really given a chance in San Diego.
Oh, no. I know what you mean, yes. Yes. They drafted young receivers, he told me, and they committed to them. Yeah.
And I'm not criticizing the article, but, I mean, I came away from the article reading, boy, but poor guy didn't get a chance in San Diego. Hey, look. Coaches aren't dumb. You know, the best part about this guy for the Jaguars, legitimate Pro Bowl player, as a special team player, no question. But you get a special teamer out of position you normally don't.
In the red zone, does he have something with his size?
Really, you can tell that already, too, huh?
You know how some guys catch, and when the ball hits their hands, you don't hear it? You know, and some guys catch the ball, and he's yes. got that sound when he catches the ball. He's not a fluid catcher. That's a problem when you're wide receiver. And I'm not saying that he can't make plays and use his size to, you know, to create opportunities and still be a productive player. His bread and butter is as a special teamer.
Oh, by the way.
You said something very important. At a position you don't normally get.
That's the important thing about having him. Because normally you can't carry a lot of wide receivers on game day because they can't play teams. Here's a guy that can play teams and you get an extra wide receiver. That's a big deal from a game day standpoint.
By the way, that third quarterback, Trevor Harris, is not a stiff. He doesn't have much of an arm, but, man, this guy is making leaps and bounds types of gains.
If he continues to do that, do you think the Jaguars would be incentivized to keep him as a third quarterback, which they haven't done?
No. He'll go
years?
To the practice squad. Okay. They won't. No, he'll go to the practice squad. They're not going to keep him as a third quarterback. But they've been dying for a developmental guy. And this guy, I liken him to a guy who played in the league for a long time. His name probably still is, Alex Van Pelt.
Oh, yeah.
He was a career backup in Buffalo.
I was a coordinator in Buffalo.
And is he? And never had a great arm, but he stayed in the league probably 10 years or more by knowing what to do and how to do it. And I got a feeling this kid, Trevor Harris, is that kind of player.
All right, let's take a break. One more segment of Jaguars This Week. As soon as we return on News Talk Radio, WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Justex Watches. They are available exclusively at Espling Jewelers. We return to the phone lines where we have Doug up on the north side. Doug, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, here's a $1 million question. You know, we think about it, and you talked about it, and you said something about it. You know, in order to be a playoff team, we have to have a top-rated quarterback. And we have a good quarterback. I'm not sure if we have a top-rated quarterback. And what my question is what are the rookie players that we've drafted going to do to make him that top-rated quarterback? I mean, when you look at the Indianapolis game last season, when the city paid a lot of money to fill the stadium and stuff like that, and we were beating Indianapolis, and then we made a couple mistakes, and we ended up getting beat. So what's a rookie player is going to do to change David Garrard?
Tyson Alualu and DeAnthony Smith and Larry Hart are going to make David Garrard a better player because all of a sudden you won't need 35 points to win a game and 35 points won't lose a game. You know, if you had those guys last year, I submit that you would have beaten Indianapolis by scoring 35 points.
Well, and the most important thing, Doug, is that you got to remember – you don't draft rookies and expect them, for the most part, to walk in the door and bang, they're having an impact.
Yeah, but they can't be worse.
But my point is look at all of the picks that you had on the offensive side of the ball last year and how in year two, this is when you expect those guys to help David.
Left tackle, right tackle,
2-3 receivers.
Backup running
back. Tight end, yep. Backup running back. Doug, the second-year players, the rookies of last year, are the ones that are going to help him.
Defense was the real problem last year. They gave up 70 points in consecutive weeks at the end of the season, 35 to Indianapolis and then 35 in New England. And then they went up to Cleveland, and they literally didn't even have to throw the ball. They just ran it down their throats for 241 yards. Yes. I mean, in the final three games of the year, the defense didn't show up. It's not just what you can give David Garrard on the offensive side of the ball. It's what you can give him on the defensive side of the ball, too.
So you predict that with David Garrard and with the players that we have and the defense that we have and the level that we're going to come out there, we'll be a playoff team this year?
Oh, I can't. I can't tell you that, but I can tell you this, and I think everyone would agree, that if David Garrard, with the quarterback crop that is coming out next year, if his play next season isn't satisfactory, it's not going to be his job for long. I think we all know that.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of people got mad because Tim Tebow didn't get drafted and all that kind of stuff. But Tim Tebow, I'm a Gator fan and everything, but he was going to sell tickets, but he wasn't going to win a playoff game. Just like you said with rookies and stuff like that. Look at Danny Werfel, great college quarterback. He came in the NFL, didn't do a whole lot.
Brian, go to Jaguars.com. Go to Ask Vic today and read off the list of quarterbacks. In one question I have, there's a list of quarterbacks who were first-round picks between 2003 and 2009, not counting this year's. Okay. And when you read off those names, these are all first-round picks. What you will see here is that all of them, with the exception of Matt Leinart, were given the starting job for their team within a couple years of being drafted, and Aaron Rodgers had to wait a little longer because of St. Brett.
St. Brett.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead. Read the names of these guys.
Matt Stafford, Mark Sanchez, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, Jamarcus Russell, Brady Quinn, Vince Young, Matt Leinart, Jay Cutler, Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, J.P. Lossman, Carson Palmer, Byron Leftwich, Kyle Bowler, and Rex Grossman.
Okay, there's the bottom line. When you draft a quarterback in the first round, as all those guys were drafted in the first round, he's the man. He is the guy who's going to be under center at some point real soon, all right? Or you screwed up, and it's going to cost you your job. Now, you said you're a Gator fan. Do you honestly believe that Tim Tebow is going to be ready to assume that role within the next couple of years?
No.
Okay. And it's going to cost Josh McDaniels his job.
And I think that's a realistic answer. I mean, everybody was upset that we didn't get Tebow. He's a Florida boy, blah, 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 blah. But like you said, he's not going to come out there and just blow it out in the first 2 years or something like that. But, I mean, Gerard's going to have some support. But at some point, you got to take a look at Gerard and say, is this really working for the Jaguars?
He knows it. He knows it. He knows.
The whole rededication.
Yeah, he knows what's on the line this year. I mean, even if he has a great year, they're going to draft a quarterback next year because you've got to get on with the development of your future. But the expeditiousness of getting on with that future is largely going to be determined by his performance this year.
And just remember, Doug, Garrard.
Yep.
Okay, not a J. It's a G. Garrard.
Yeah, Garrard. That was the guy in The Fugitive, right?
I think so.
That was the detective.
Just want to make sure you got the pronunciation of it right.
Doug, we appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1.
Joe, you love that, don't you?
355-6351. You've been silent tonight. Do you want to put the headset on for just a sec?
What's up?
You need a haircut. That's
yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I will. I'll get it, coach.
When you start to grow a silver mane down the neck, you know.
Racing stripe.
You got the silver sweater
now,
neck.
I know
going.
Why he's growing his hair. He's not going to cut it until the Flyers lose.
It's the playoff haircut.
That's right. There's no question.
No, that's facial hair. Now, come on, Joe.
So you guys want me to turn the mic on so you can talk about my hair?
Let's go Flyers.
Very good, Victor.
Yeah, I did. Honestly.
Okay.
Did you, Loggy, you know, corrected Doug?
The phone's ringing.
And then he corrected you.
I have to get the phone.
All right. Get the phone, Joe.
Joe.
Yeah, every once in a while he just needs to get on the air. You know, I think he misses it. He's not on as regularly
as
he once was.
He's got a little South Philadelphia look going on there. He sure does, you know?
Is it the shirt, though?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's sort of like
Hey, how you doing, huh? He's got that going on.
How you doing?
Like he'd be rolling cigars
how you
over
doing?
In
I'm doing okay.
Ybor City. All right. So about to wrap up another show here, and then the Jaguars, they have OTA tomorrow, and then next Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Then the break of a week, and then back at it.
Yeah. It ends on July 22nd. So you got, you know, a little over a month. You know, it's tough anymore to determine where OTAs and training camp begin and end.
Yeah, let me ask you
They're
this.
They're the same thing.
You said a little more than a month. The last OTA, you said July...
June 22nd.
June 22nd. The first preseason game, 13th, 14th of August,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
And so they'll report end of July, you know, basically mm-hmm. hit the ground running August 1st. Okay, so they get a month off.
That, mm-hmm.
You know,
it's the month
there's
you
so
worry
many,
about.
It's the month you worry about, but at the same
Joe,
time.
So the first game is your birthday in Philly, right?
There's a lot of different formulas, you know. Do you stretch those OTAs towards training camp, or do you get them out of the way early?
You know what I've noticed a lot of teams are doing is they're putting mini camp at the end of OTAs instead of the beginning, and I really don't know what the although I know it's mandatory, so maybe they're trying to defeat the
too much time off and away.
The guys who start skipping the OTAs toward the end of them because, you know, hey, I've seen enough. I'd like to know why some coaches do that.
Question for another day.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Don't know. Maybe I'll find an answer.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for you listening. Talk to you next week.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.